I hope you're doing very well this morning. Okay, I do not want you to answer out loud what I'm fixing to ask you. Please don't point at anybody. Don't elbow, don't cough and point, or don't do your eyes. I can see you and so can God, so please don't do this. Do you know anybody that's got any issues? By your laughter, that means no, right? Of course you know people who have issues. If you're on any social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, people have issues, amen? If you doubt me, go home today and watch 30 minutes of CNN and 30 minutes of Fox News, and you will realize the world is full of issues. In Genesis 4 today, we're looking at the first kid again. And we're going to again next Sunday to round out the story. We're going to look at some of his issues and how, man, they led to his ruin, and how his issues many thousands of years later are still so common this morning. Let's begin with this. Do you have some heart issues today? We're going to explore that, and I think you do, and I think I do. You know, I'm not talking about cholesterol and needing surgery, bypass surgery or something, which is that's obviously a serious problem, but that's not our subject today. Cain, our villain in our story, had heart issues. In verse 1 through 5, Genesis 4, now Adam had sexual relationships with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. He was a farmer. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of his firstborn lambs from the flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gifts, but he did not accept Cain and his gifts. And this made Cain really happy and pleased that God had... No, it made him very angry. Now, we looked last week, why did God accept Abel's and reject Cain's? It wasn't just God's just picking on one, which I think that may have been what Abel thought, that God was favoring what Cain thought. God, maybe Cain thought he's favoring Abel like mom and daddy always did because he was the baby or whatever. But as we look last week, it seems like when Cain brought his offering, he just brought what he could get his hands on. He brought maybe what was left over. He was careless, just kind of doing God on his own terms. Where Abel, it says he brought the best of his firstborn lambs and he presented it to God. There was a carelessness about Cain's relationship to God and his interaction with him. And there was an intentional, specific, really a love that you see from Abel and his relationship with God. Way over in Hebrews 11:4, it explains this fuller, what happened. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man. Listen, Abel's offering showed that his heart was right. By what he did, it proved he had a good heart with God. What Cain did, it showed he did not have a good heart with God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, farther on in the New Testament, we must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one. Now, the evil one is not just like some bad teacher you had in the third grade or whatever. The evil one means the devil there. He killed his brother. And he did. Why did he kill him? Why did he do this? Because Cain had been doing what was evil. If you're taking notes, that word evil there means what's bad, what's diseased, what's wicked. Cain ultimately had a heart problem. We're going to identify some of the markers of his bad heart in a moment for you and me. But listen, all of us have some heart issues. You know who Johnny Depp is, the actor? Johnny Depp, several years ago in an interview, said this about himself. He'd played some part where he was like a dark character in the movie. And he said, "I identified the wickedness, the darkness in my heart many years ago, and I accepted it, and we have become good friends." Now, part of his statement there is good, to identify and accept that you've got a dark spot in your heart, but you want to spend the rest of your life fighting it, not the rest of your life embracing it. It's just, hey, this is just who I am. You and I have some heart issues, and let's identify them this morning. I want to give you some markers that identified Cain. See if they do you. Some of these may for you, all of them may, but let's walk through them together. Here's the first one. Do you get mad at other people when you do what's wrong? You do what's wrong, you do what's dumb, you do what's sinful, and you are ticked off at everybody else that gets in your way. Oh, I bet you do, because we all know these people. Verse 5, it says, but he did not accept Cain and his gift, and this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Very is an adjective meaning exceeding here. Exceedingly angry, and the word anger there means to blaze up or to burn. Literally, it means that he was a hothead who walked around all the time simmering. Do you know anybody who's a hothead? Again, don't point, but you do. Somebody that, I mean, everything can seem to be fine. They just blow up. And a lot of times they come back down just as quick as they blow up. Do you know anybody who's an angry person? An angry person is somebody, they're always mad. They may not blow up. They're just always upset. What he's saying about Cain here is that Cain's always on edge. And he was a kind that when he blew up, man, did he blow up. Why did he get upset? Why did he get so mad? He got mad because he had done what's wrong and his brother had done what was right, and God accepted his brother and not him, and he's furious at his brother. Look in verse 8. How do I know this anger was so much at his brother? One day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were out in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and he killed him. They didn't go out to shoot firecrackers, at least not from Cain's perspective. He went out and he killed him. Am I telling you this morning that your anger towards others may lead you to murder? Well, it could if it's not curtailed, if it's not taken care of. These statistics are 2 or 3 years old, but Google put out a list of unusual searches that people do. By the way, they keep up with these, so remember this afternoon when you're home making weird searches. In 1 month, 1,900 people Googled, how do we get away with murder? Wow. Another 1,000 Googled, how do we hide a dead body? By the way, when you kill somebody and the FBI comes and gets your computers, they're going to find that on your computer. That will not help you in court. Amen? I mean, that's just, but that's darkness of our heart. Again, why did he get mad at his brother? Got mad at his brother because he had sinned and done wrong and his brother did right. How dare his brother be favored over him. This morning, my guess is that many of us, we all have in the past, we've done things we shouldn't have done. We've sinned. Maybe we've sinned in big ways. And sometimes when we do that, people judge us. And nobody should judge you or me. You shouldn't judge other people. We don't have the intellectual and spiritual capacity to judge other people correctly. But they do, don't they? They just absolutely do. And listen, when you sin and you do things you shouldn't and you mess up, people are you hearing me? People are going to look at you differently. They may not be able to hire you. They may not want to keep you on the team. They may have to make adjustments with you in righteous ways. And by the way, a church and Christians are to never tolerate sin, but we love and welcome people who are in the middle of their messes right now. But what I'm trying to tell you, when I do wrong and you do wrong, don't expect that people are going to kind of look at you cross-eyed for a while. And that's not on them as long as they're not being judgmental or hateful to you. That's on you. You see, some of us, we're mad at a coach because he didn't play our kid or because he didn't play us. And we ignore the facts. Maybe we didn't come to practice like we should. We weren't as good an athlete as we thought we were. We weren't supportive of the team. A teacher, by golly, a teacher failed you. Now, never mind that you didn't make the grades or that your kid didn't get into some program and you're mad at that school or those people. And never mind, maybe they didn't meet the standard. There'll be, I don't know, 20,000 people in America fired this week. That'd be my guess. It may be more than that. And many, many of those people are going to be mad at their employer. Some of them will be unjustly fired. I'm not saying that. But some of them won't be. And they're going to be mad at their employer because they didn't show up for work on time. They didn't do a good job. They got warned repeatedly to change things they didn't change. And they're going to be mad at the people who let them go because they were doing what's wrong. Stop it. We're all guilty of that, and that's exactly what Cain was doing. He's mad at his brother because his brother had done what's right, and he had done what's wrong. Wow. What do you do in this situation? Well, you recognize it. Here's a great thing to do too. Go talk to that person. What if Cain would have sat down with Abel and said, "Hey man, I feel like you've done me wrong in this deal." Well, he hadn't. It seems like you were trying to butter up to God and make me look bad. Well, I wasn't. And if he really went and he would have listened to him, you know what? This might have resolved a lot of the problems. I want to challenge you this morning. Check yourself, first of all, as issues. Secondly, don't get mad at other people when you're doing the wrong things. Here's a second thing. A second symptom or an indicator. Do you get mad at God for the consequences of your behavior? Listen, sin has consequences. God disciplines, God's punished. Sin has natural cause and effect. In verse 5, it says, "But he did not accept Cain and his gift, and this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected." He is furious at his brother Abel, but I want to tell you, he's mad at God too. He's mad at God too. How dare God accept his brother's sacrifice and not his? Well, he didn't pause to look, and my sacrifice wasn't good. It wasn't my best. I was careless. My heart's not in the right spot. He didn't examine any of that. And this morning, I guarantee you there's people in this room, you're mad at God. You're frustrated with God. And to some extent, hey, that's normal. That happens with all of us. It's just what you do with it that's huge and important. In 2016, a man named David Shoshin in Israel literally took to court a case asking for a restraining order against God. He said, "God has been treating me harshly and not nicely, and I want the state of Israel, the country of Israel, to restrain God from doing this to me." And it's funny, they threw the case out and I think had him drug tested, which is probably good, right? But we all feel that way sometimes. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but you feel like God's let you down. God didn't answer that prayer. That person didn't respond like you wanted them to. Things are still difficult or hard in certain areas in your life. And it's normal. It's normal to feel confused with God and sometimes angry with God for a little while, but you can't stay there. You see, a lot of times I look at my life and I look at people's lives. So I know we create the mess. And then we blame other people or we blame God for the mess. Why did God let this happen to me? When we've been digging the hole all the time. And God, it wasn't ever God's will that we do that. I want to encourage you this morning. If you're mad at God because you're in a hole, that's normal initially, but it's not normal to stay there. God loves you. God didn't put you in that hole. God didn't make Cain give a bad offering. He didn't make Cain's heart be in the wrong place. God's not done that to you either or to me. 1 John 1:9 solves this issue, I think. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That biblical word confess is a great word. It means to say the same thing. And when we confess our sins to God, we are saying the same thing about our sin that God does. Here's what we do. Instead of saying, "Hey, it's my brother's fault," or "God, why did you let this happen?" We say, "You know what? I sinned. It's my sin. God recognizes your sin as your sin." It's naming it. "God, this is mine. This is what I've done." And when we confess that with a desire to turn from it, the Bible says God cleanses us and forgives us and wipes our slate clean. He says, "Let's start over a brand new day." Are you angry at God this morning? Cain certainly was. Aristotle supposedly said this, and this is so good about anger. He said, "The key is to be angry with the right person at the right time for the right reason in the right way." Let me repeat that. That's not in the Bible, but it's very biblical. The key to anger is sometimes you should be angry, but it's at the right person at the right time for the right reason and the right way. That's wisdom and extremely difficult. But let me tell you this. It's never right to stay mad at God. God didn't cause your negative issues. And it's never right to be mad at other people for the sins and mistakes that you and I've made. Here's a third marker this morning of heart issues. Does jealousy rule your heart? Does jealousy rule your life? I'll read verse 5 one more time. God did not accept Cain's gift, and this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. God accepted Abel's. He doesn't accept Cain. Abel's blessed. Cain's not. He's angry, but he's also, man, he is envious toward his brother. There's a bitter jealousy, and resentment and jealousy go hand in hand. I want to read to you a verse about jealousy. Proverbs 27:4. Man, you ought to memorize this. Anger is cruel and wrath is like a flood. Read that last part out loud with me, please. But jealousy is even more dangerous. Jealousy is worse than anger. That insecurity, that childish competitiveness, that controlling resentment, when that gets in your heart, it is going to ruin you if you're not careful. Years ago, I lived in a little community, and you knew most people. And there was a person in the community I knew, and they were a nice person when you met them. They were religious. They went to church regularly. But the people in the community knew this person as being a very jealous individual. You know, a small community, a lot of family, they were jealous of their relationship with their mother, with their grandmother, with the kinfolks, who was going to get the money. They had jealousy issues at work, and they would date people, and they'd be jealous. They were not dating people, and they'd be jealous. It was weird. At church, they wanted the attention of the pastor or the ministers, or they wanted control of this, and their just life was wrapped up in jealousy. And I want to tell you, it was an ugly thing to see. Not attractive at all. A bad heart issue. You ought to write this down. I don't know who said it, but it's so good. Envy is the only sin that you get no enjoyment out of. All right, let's be honest. We're in church. Will you be honest with me? If you go home today and you eat your favorite food until your pants burst, that's called what? Gluttony. That's fun for a season. Amen? Am I right? And being lazy can be sinful. But if you lay in bed and eat Oreos and Cheetos and watch TV for 24 straight hours, that's probably sinful, but to some extent, that's fun. Would you agree? Envy brings none of that. Envy brings none of that. It just destroys you from the inside out. I read a psychologist's report this week on what jealousy does. It depresses us. It increases our hostility. Jealous people have a lack of joy and a lack of happiness. No doubt that's absolutely true. It makes people more neurotic. In other words, it messes with your own head. Why did Cain have to be looking at Abel and what God had done for him instead of looking at himself and taking care of his business? LeBron James is a professional golfer. Y'all listening? What sport does he play? The outfit ought to give it away if you don't know. He just signed with the Los Angeles Lakers for $154 million for 4 years. I've talked to the leaders at our church. I'm willing to sign for 4 years for $4 million. If you don't go to church here, that's a joke, okay? That's a pretty good contract, isn't it? I mean, I would take that, I promise you. LeBron James, several years ago, he was having some issues with some of his teammates, and he was struggling with how to handle it. And one of his long-term friends, a guy named Maverick Carter, said, LeBron, quit worrying about what everybody else is doing. He didn't mean don't worry about your teammates, but quit focusing on what they're doing wrong or they're doing wrong or they're doing wrong. He can say, you go out there and you focus on you and your game and your life and you play the very best you can be. See, you need to quit competing with your brothers and sisters and your friends and the people you work with. Compete with yourself. If Cain would have said, man, I messed up. I need to correct this situation. I need to get it right. Don't look at his brother. What do I do to fix this? How do I get better? None of what's going to happen in a moment would have happened. Compete with yourself. Decide that you want to be the very best you that you can be. You decide this time next year, you're going to be better than you are today. That's who you compete with. That's how you kill jealousy. But if your heart's full of jealousy, it's going to ruin your life. Here's the fourth thing. Are you hiding behind a religious mask? You know, this story is so interesting in so many ways. It starts out in the church house. Look in verse 3. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. No, it doesn't say They were down at the tavern, and they were drinking too much and playing pool, and they got in an argument, and Cain stuck a dart in Abel's head. It doesn't say that, does it? That'd be better, wouldn't it? No, in our purposes, they're at church. They're doing religious things. They're presenting their offerings. Remember, I shared this quote last week. Alexander McLaren, a great old preacher, said, the first act of worship is followed by the first act of murder in the Bible. I mean, five verses later, first worship, first murder. I think that Cain was a deacon. The deacons think he was a pastor. He may have taught connection groups that morning before he did the offering. He may have sang the special music. He had a religious mask on. Are you hiding behind religious mask this morning? You're all mad at somebody and a bunch of people because you've done stuff you shouldn't and you're mad at them. You're mad at God, but oh, you're religious. You're full of jealousy, but you know how to say amen. Now, folks, listen. I'm for saying amen. I said this last week. I'm for wearing a cross. We got so many crosses in my house that if a vampire broke in, he'd die on the spot. I love crosses, man. That's why I'm here today, is the cross. I love religious things. I love people praying. I love people hearing from God. But don't you hide behind the mask. When you know what's right to do, don't say, I'll pray about it. Just go stink and do it. And when you're trying to beat somebody up in the name of Jesus, don't come to them and say, God told me, and then tear their head off. Don't hide behind a religious mask. The first murder happened after the first worship service. I want to ask you this morning, did you come in today with your mask on? What's the solution to that? Just get real with God. Get real. I mean, get real, get honest, get true with God. But take your mask off. And the last thing this morning is this. Deal with your issues before they deal with you. You've got to deal with your issues before they deal with you. Verse 6 and 7. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look dejected? We're going to look at more of this next week. But man, God is pleading with him. God is saying, look, buddy, you are on the edge of disaster. Come on. Let me take your hand. Let's straighten it out. Let's fix it. Look what he says in verse 7. You will be accepted if you do what's right. Right means what's sound and what's good. You can do what's right. He's saying that to you and me this morning. But if you refuse to do what's right, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. You must subdue it and be its master. And Cain said, he probably said, yeah, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Amen. Amen. And then in verse 8, he goes out to the field and he kills his brother. Verse 9 and 10, the Lord asked Cain, where's your brother? Where's Abel? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? But the Lord says, what have you done? Now, it's not that God didn't know. He was asking for information. Your blood, brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. See, Cain had all these issues swirling around. And God was talking to him, hey, you're mad. You're mad at me. You're jealous. You're mad at your brother. And you're the one that's done what's wrong. And I'm telling you, come on, let's get it right. And Cain blows him off, and he goes and kills his brother. I don't know if this is a true story. It's got a good point. There was a man who worked at a lumber yard, and he was stealing lumber from his company little by little to go build a lake house. Well, he got caught, and his bosses apparently were really nice guys. They didn't fire him. They didn't have him arrested. They just said, you're going to make restitution. Once you go to counseling, once you go to see the Catholic priest in town. So the guy goes to the priest, and he's telling, he says, Father, here's what I've done. I work at a lumber yard. I stole lumber, and I was building a lake house with it. And the priest said, well, he said, you know, that's a serious thing. That's really a bad thing that you've done. He said, you need to take some time off. And he said, have you ever done a retreat? Have you ever done a retreat? Do you need to, you know, a retreat? The guy paused for a moment. He said, I hadn't, but if you can get me the blueprints, I bet I can get the lumber. In other words, he didn't get it. See, this morning, some of us, maybe we're just arrogant. Maybe we're clueless. Maybe we don't care. But not getting it is going to come back on us eventually. In June of 2012, in North Dakota, a man named Eric Erickson, I think was his name, 73-year-old man, he was sentenced to life in prison for first-degree murder. Here's the story. When he was in high school, 50-something years earlier, a popular leader in the high school, a fellow student, pulled a prank on him in the boys' locker room, embarrassed him. Both of them went on, graduated from high school. The popular guy kind of went on with his life being popular. Was a teacher and a coach in the high school, successful. The guy who got pranked, the murderer, eventually, he stayed in the community, did well, was married, had kids, had grandkids. He was had a good insurance business, wore a good mask. For 50 years, he was bitter. He watched that other guy be successful. He was jealous. Mad at God, mad at that man, mad at the world. 50 years after that incident happened, one day he took a gun, he goes to that man's house, knocks on the door. When that guy comes to the door, he shoots him dead, murders him right there in his house. Life in prison. After he's sentenced, he turns around. This is a nice thing. He turns around to the widow, by the way, who he made a widow. And he says, oh, how I wish I could turn the calendar back. See, folks, here's the deal. You and I can't turn the calendar back. But we can make decisions right now, even this morning, to cleanse our heart and to get it in the right direction where we won't make some tragic and dumb mistakes. The question is, will we? Let's pray. This morning, if you're a Christian, I pray whatever it is God needs to say to you, that you've been hearing it and that you will act on it. If you're not a Christian, what I'm challenging you to do right now, if you're ready, is to give your life to Christ. You pray with me where you are and just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I want to repent of my sins. Jesus, I accept that you're God's Son and that you died and arose for me. Jesus, come into my heart. And I surrender my life to you today. Let me have your attention. We're going to stand in just a second. What I want you to do is respond to Christ. You just ask Jesus into your heart. I'll be happy to talk to you after church. But you can also come right now and cross that line with Christ. You need to do that this morning before you leave. That's the foundation for getting your heart right. Come today and do that. Maybe you'd like to join the church today. We would love for you to do that. You can do that after church, or you can come when we stand and you can join today. You need a church home. We would love to be that for you. You're a Christian. Maybe things are going the way they should. You keep it up. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's all these areas. Maybe it's just one or two where there's some problems in your heart. Maybe it's just where you're standing, you need to do business with God. Or maybe you want to come pray with a minister or pray at the altar. Listen, your life, your future, your joy, all that is in your hands right now. Make the right decision to deal with your issues. Let's stand. As God leads you, you come. We'll be waiting on you.